Got back from Terre Haute and Evansville. Yesterday I was in Muncie, Fort Wayne, South Bend, and Geary. And I can report both lots of interest and I think very encouraging signs about the health care plan. Broad coalition of people, very excited about it, and expressions, I think, of optimism that we can achieve this. So, lots of good questions. So,
there was a luncheon in the Chamber of Commerce on Monday where David Ortlinger stood in from Pat Bauer. And he said that 25 cents isn't enough, that it should be at least 50 cents. And then at the same time, I understand Pat Bauer says that he's not prepared to ask Democrats to vote for a cigarette tax increase. How political do you think this will be? How much of a sales job do you have to do?
Oh, I'm sure that, like any big idea, that it'll take a lot of selling. That's what I've been out doing for these two days and three of the last four. But I'm very optimistic. I think this is an idea that I'd like to give credit. Many Democrats have been more often and more vocal in their support of helping the uninsured, for instance, than some members of my party. And I think we're going to have bipartisan support for it. I've constructed a plan that can get as big as anybody wants it to get. The more they raise the price of tobacco, the more people we can cover. And I think that I'm expecting to see really help from both sides.
How big would you like to see the protection?
I want to make certain that we take at least a significant a piece of the uninsured problem on, and even at a quarter, we can get to a third of the low-income uninsured. Yes, I'd like to see it higher, but I don't think it's my place to tell the legislature what the perfect number is. Again, I've tried to create a system that's flexible and let them balance what is fair from a cost of the tobacco standpoint with how many people they'd like to cover. And at 50 cents, we're more than halfway home on the most urgent problem, and it could easily go higher.
Have you started, you've been lobbying the public on this, have you started yet lobbying individual legislators?
Well, I've talked to several of them, just that I've encountered, and some have come to the meetings we've had. But no, I'd say in these first few days, I wanted to explain a program which is very far-reaching, help inform the public about things that I admit I didn't know too much about, that we don't immunize almost one in four Hoosier kids at the time we should, things like this. So in these early stages, I'm trying to, first of all, inform people about a plan that we think will work, and secondly, get folks excited about the opportunity to make a big step forward and toward a healthier Indiana.
Kevin, I heard earlier this week that you said you used to be a smoker. I wonder if you could tell us how long you
Well, about 2 years, and then I graduated from college, got a job, started running, and quit cold. Yeah, been a long time, but that's the way I remember it.
Do you remember how many cigarettes a day you smoked?
No, but it was more than a couple. It was something that I'd say probably a majority of young people did at the time, didn't take me long to figure out it wasn't a very good idea, and especially when I started running, the two were just so both physically and maybe psychologically incompatible that I just knocked it off.
Governor, on to your Outer Belt proposal.
Uh-huh.
I know that when you offered the plan, you said that at some point you envisioned cost savings and $several hundred million,
uh-huh,
other projects that might have been planned. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on what you meant and what might happen to some of the other projects on the table.
Well, we're talking about a long time period now, so these are not simply projects that already are planned, but those that sooner or later are going to be necessary. First of all, traffic continues to build up nationwide and certainly here at the crossroads of America at a rate much faster, many times faster than new roads are being built. Secondly, trucks in particular take a tremendous toll on the roads. So if you want to see the future, if we don't do something different, maybe it's not my connector idea, but if we don't do something different, You can anticipate that Super 70 of this year will be repeated over and over and over again. There'll be a Super 69 and a Super 65 and a Super 70 West, and then sooner or later it'll be time to do Super 70 all over again. So you know, we can deal with the problem that way, but I do think that it's worth a look at a measure that might alleviate, particularly through truck traffic, from coming through on the roads we have now and congesting them and wearing on them. And that's what, as while I think creating an economic opportunity for some communities that we want to help.
I know that your major thrust is supporting this ICC, but what might happen to, say, improvements to I-69 or improvements to existing I-465 or State Road 9?
Oh, I don't doubt that there'll still be lots of work necessary on these roads, but there'll be a whole lot more needed if all the traffic, which continues to grow, again, at fast rates, particularly truck traffic, for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years is still forced to move through the I-465 loop we have today.
Pat Weller said the caucus was opposed to privatization, and he applied that to your highway idea.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any movement in the rule there for compromise?
Well, you'll have to ask him. I think it's a sincere disagreement. He's for big government as a matter of principle. We're for effective government, whichever way that turns out to be delivered. But I would hope that at least many members of his party wouldn't be ideological and doctrinaire about an idea that might be important, might save taxpayers a lot of money and motorists too. I think he's talking here not only about the connector, but maybe some other ideas too. And I just hope they'll be more open-minded than that.
And you're talking about your connector, Governor. You're kind of using the words, it might be, mm-hmm. could be, and it seems a little softer than 2 weeks ago when you were proposing this strongly as the way to go. Have you encountered some change of thought, or perhaps are there some other ideas?
In fact, when I think of the many positive attributes of public-private partnerships is you can go find out with a little more certainty whether an idea is a good one or not. No one is ever going to build that road with their own money unless there's very good evidence that it's a workable idea. And governments may make mistakes like that, but people using their own funds very rarely do. And let me just remind you of something else that some have overlooked. The study which your paper reported on, I thought made a useful contribution. It helped persuade me that a full loop built with taxpayer money wasn't a good idea. So I proposed something completely different, a partial loop built with someone else's money. And I continue to think that has a lot going for it, and so do the mayors and other local officials all the way around that loop with whom we spoke.
Mm-hmm. Will you do that? Will you let lawmakers have a look at this before you sign a contract?
No. Not any more than has ever been done in the past. This is, the executive branch is charged with carrying out the laws of the state. Let me just point out a couple things. Contracting in the delivery of the social services is the rule, not the exception. There weren't any hearings. There weren't any letters written, as far as I know, when major contracts with EDS, Deloitte, Centene, ACS, and others were written. Over 90% of the budget of the FSSA is privately contracted today, much of that with tax-paying firms. So this is absolutely the rule, not the exception. All those contracts I just mentioned, by the way, were signed under our predecessors. So if we decide, as we may, that this is the best way forward, I'm going to move right away. The current system is indefensible. It is wasting millions of tax dollars. It's been riddled with fraud. It has the worst welfare-to-work record in America. It has high error rates. And when you ask the clients, the needy we're trying to serve, what they think, they are very negative about the customer service. So this system, this welfare system in Indiana must and should be fixed. And the way we're looking at fixing it is the rule, not the exception in the way FSSA works today.
Kevin, on the issue of, I'm sorry, back on this
side. Yeah.
Back to the vendor.
Yeah.
You, from the day you announced this idea, you expressed the hope that there would be some private folks in private industry who would express interest and step up.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard anything?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I went to Washington on some business last week, and while there, people wanted to give us some awards for major moves. And there were a number of people there already had the early announcement and wanted to talk about it. So, again, I think it's an idea we should explore, and we should see whether people like this idea enough that they would build it with their money. I did not propose this to replace anything on the books of the state. This is important to notice. We have a fully funded plan, but we have plenty of necessary projects, and we remain committed to them. But if a partial loop built with someone else's money and supported in large part by out-of-state traffic, the tolls paid by out-of-state traffic, if someone's willing to build that for us, we ought to listen to it.
Have you received any beyond federal
interest? No. Wouldn't say so.
On the issue of property tax reform, as the session approaches, you've kind of given inklings here and there, talking about hometown matters and stuff.
Right.
How do you think that issue is going to be resolved? What way are you going to push for that for our residents?
I'm going to try the same way we did in the last session, and that is to try to link arms with local governments on a common plan. I think that gives us the best chance of success, and we've been talking to them very actively. The themes aren't particularly different. More flexibility to raise money from other sources and shift away from property taxation, and also the possibility that some functions could be lifted to the state level and off the local property tax rolls. But we're having conversations, as we did a year ago, with the local government groups about coming together. I would like to try to proceed with the same ideas they have, and I think they'd give us the best chance of getting it done.
Do you endorse Hometown Matters or not?
I would hope to. We're talking about the exact details. The themes are very common. Again, we had a common plan last year, and it has evolved into Hometown Matters, and it's very close to my own view. We're talking about the details. Whatever looks like it works, that's always my outlook on these things. I'd be more than happy to support their plan. I just want to make sure that we're in close enough accord.
Going back to the cigarette tax, I want to follow up. So have you met with Representative Bauer or with any of the leaders in the Senate to talk about specifically about that proposal?
I talked to Dave Long about it at some length and a few other members of the Senate. Again, I saw some during my travels around the state. I've seen a few here around the building, but I wanted to start with the public and the healthcare community, explain the idea, and I hope try to generate some excitement. When I talked to Pat last week about this, and I raised this and a couple other issues, and he said, let me get an organization today behind me first, which was a fair request.
Mm-hmm. Homes and farms due to eminent domain. Is there any concern that these hearings and, you know, there could be testimony that might get quite emotional, that could make this proposal politically unpalatable for the mayor and the county commissioner?
Actually, I think it's a good idea. Of course, we're planning and have talked to the local officials there about public forums, too, and more would be better. That's the whole idea of trying to. We were trying to touch off a discussion of a new idea, and everybody needs to be heard from. I'd point out that at this point, nobody has any specific plan or any notion of exactly where the route would be, so no one would know for certain that their land would be affected. And hearings might help shape such a route eventually. People might, everyone's goal would be to have the least disruptive and least environmentally troublesome route possible, and hearings might help figure out what that is.
Governor, you lost another of your department heads week, and I remember when you named all these people and you said they were absolutely the best people.
Yeah.
Just wondered if you're worried about any brain drain here from your administration, and in a place like the DNR was 2 years enough to really get a handle on what you said mm-hmm. Serious problems there.
What I worry about, and you've heard me worry about publicly before, is succession management. There's no question at all that when you recruit people of the caliber that we were fortunate, that Hoosier taxpayers are fortunate to step forward, that there was going to be significant rotation. Many of them said at the outset, I'll do this for a couple of years, and many others, like Kyle Hupfer, simply been recruited away, then their talent visible to people other than us. And I'm happy for him. He got a remarkable opportunity for a young family, and I couldn't in good conscience lean on him to turn it down. But yes, I worry about it will not be easy to replace people of A-plus caliber with others of that caliber, and that's our, we're constantly striving to do that. Kyle Hupfer did a great job in 2 years at DNR. In fact, I think he did such a good job that I'm reasonably comfortable about things continuing on. Rob Carter's a really good man. He was another newcomer, but he has some of the same qualities that I saw in Kyle. He was a newcomer 2 years ago, I should say.
Investing in light rail or a metro
mm-hmm.
system?
I've talked to a lot of people about that concept, and I look forward to talking to Mayor Brainerd about the specific idea that he floated. I think we have to be very open-minded and really hopeful that it will make sense at some point to do this. Just two quick observations. One, I see it as completely consistent with the connector idea, which once again is about trying to move principally commercial truck through traffic around Indianapolis. And helping commuters get in and out of the town on, for instance, light rail has exactly the same goal. So I think these two ideas are, at least in part, aiming at the same target. The other observation is we just have to work together on the arithmetic of this. It is an idea I hope to see in my lifetime work out for Indianapolis, but you've got to be very careful because these things are incredibly expensive to build and then tend to be an ongoing expense in that you just can't put enough people in seats at prices folks are willing to pay to maintain them. But I'd be happy to work on it, and maybe the day is closer than some think when it could make sense here.
Plans for Thanksgiving?
We're boring, some might say. We don't think so. No, we stay home, family comes to us, and but we eat well. Sherry's a great cook, and the girls all like to pitch in, but we're not going anywhere.
Will you have dinner in your personal home at Geisler?
He'll be in the personal home, yeah.
So what is a typical Daniels family Thanksgiving menu?
Too much turkey, cornbread and oyster dressing. I'm a cornbread person. Sherry likes the oysters.
Two separate.
Bourbon sweet potatoes are a fixture. What else? You know, an assortment of vegetables and pies.
What's your favorite pie?
Pecan.
Governor, I'm sorry to break away from the dinner talk. Quick follow-up on that.
We'll answer less important questions, too.
Senator Meeks has talked about, talking about property tax reform. He's linked that to full-day kindergarten in that he's talking, when he talks about full-day K, he talks about the capital, potential capital costs there and how that might affect local property tax rates around the state. I was wondering if you saw it the same way, if you would link those two issues together.
Oh, I haven't so far. He may have a point. As part of our exploration, when Sue Ellen Reed's department surveyed the superintendents, about half said they would have no problem. And many of our districts, as you know, have been shrinking in terms of number of kids, and they have extra room. Others said they'd have some adjustments to make. There definitely are some transition issues moving to full-day kindergarten. My impression, listening to the educators and looking at the survey that was done, is that a capital, new building facilities is not the biggest problem, but there may be places where it is significant.
So do you think that factors in, that piece of the pie will factor into the property tax reform question?
It could, but I think the property tax issue is so much bigger that whatever increment might be occasioned by full-day kindergarten in certain districts, I think would be relatively minor, but I'll have a look at it and see. He might have a good point. I hadn't thought of it.
Governor, have we not seen all the pieces of your legislative agenda, or will there be something new that you all are saving for, say, the state of the state?
You haven't seen it all. I will have something to say about the budget, the outline of the budget, after we have the new revenue forecast at mid-month. And there may be another item or two. But I wouldn't necessarily save it till January. I think big ideas are probably, maybe this is a learning point in the job, maybe best put out early so people can begin to debate them and digest them and improve them.
So there's a big idea coming.
Stand by.
Okay.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.